Good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. We're going to talk about the Lord today. Hey, we're going to talk about Him next Sunday too. And the Sunday following. And we're going to make it our job to speak on the Lord through His Word. Is that all right? Well, what if it wasn't all right? We should speak on anyway, shouldn't we? All right. Glad that you're here. We're going to let our kids go to kids' church, children's church. And when I say break, it's time for them to go. Ready? Break. And there they go. They're walking. I'm sorry, sir, you're too old for Friends Church. He's going anyway. Man who's wearing a pink shirt, he don't listen to preacher. He's marching to his own drum. That's your boy, Roger. All right. So glad that you all are here today. If you have your Bible, open to the Psalm 23. 23rd Psalm. It's not even a funeral today. The 23rd Psalm is so familiar to us during times of death and dying, funerals. Sometimes it's the only time we hear it, only time we read it or consider it. When you study the 23rd Psalm, you realize it's not about dying. It's about living. It's about living in a certain way. Living in a victorious way. Living in such a way that you cultivate a relationship with the Lord our God and walk with Him daily. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at Psalm 23. Today we're going to cover the first four verses. Next Sunday, the last two verses. And so let me read the 23rd Psalm. You might could say it with me from memory. I could have said it from memory, but my memory is getting slippier and slippier. Somebody told me that was old age. I think, praise God. Well, if you're not growing older, you're dead. And somebody already read 23 over your funeral. And so, you know, those are the only two options. And so let me read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me pray for us. Father God, we hear and we read Your Word because we want to know You, not simply about You, but to know You the way the psalmist, King David, our brother in the Lord, knew You. But even further, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, we want to know You even more. So help us through this psalm, through Your Word, to know that we know You, to enjoy the benefits of a child of God. Most of all, to glorify You, to love You, trust You, obey You, because truly, You are our shepherd, and You are our Lord. And we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I rearranged that and said, the shepherd is my Lord. I did that because in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is known as our shepherd. He calls Himself the good shepherd. He says He's the good shepherd, and He'll lay down His life and lays down His life for His sheep. And His sheep, they know Him. They know His voice, they follow Him, they trust Him, they obey Him, they love Him. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, it says of Jesus that He is our great shepherd. That's a step up from good, last I heard. He's a great shepherd and the overseer of our souls is what He says in 1 Peter chapter 2. So I want to talk about the shepherd who is our Lord. The shepherd who is our Lord. It's very fitting that the Lord should call himself a shepherd and be referred to as a shepherd. The shepherd carries the big stick. The shepherd knows how to move the sheep. He knows how to protect the sheep. He knows how to feed the sheep. The sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. The shepherd is the boss, director, leader, guider, Lord over the sheep. So it's a very fitting analogy for us. Not even to mention that, like sheep, our intelligence is rather humble compared to God's. God knows a lot more than we know. God sees a lot more than we see. God has a power far exceeding ours. It does us so good to trust in the Lord, trust in the shepherd, our Lord. So let's look at Psalm 23. The first line, so famous, "The Lord is my shepherd." Everything in Psalm 23 rests on this declaration. The relationship between me and the Lord is my shepherd. It says so much. It says the Lord allows us to call on him to direct us, that he allows this relationship to exist. It's not a relationship of peers. Like I just said, the shepherd and the sheep, they're not on the same level. The shepherd is above the sheep. The shepherd rules over the sheep. The shepherd is in control. There's no democracy between a shepherd and his flock. How many baas do we have that we go this way? Bah. The baas have it. No, there's no voting. There's no deciding what's best, what's worse. It's the fact that the shepherd knows and we know the shepherd. Everything in this psalm, all the blessings that come in Psalm 23 are contingent on this fact: the Lord is my shepherd. Without that relationship, none of this that follows applies to your life. It's all about a relationship. I know him. He knows me. He cares for me. He has condescended to come know me. I've read and been told about shepherds that they know the name of their sheep. They know the name of their sheep. Now, what kind of interaction do they have? You know, what kind of talking do they have? "Hey, sheep." And he doesn't call them sheep. He calls them by their name. I was looking at, I don't know whose name I'd like to use. You know, "Hey, Jeremy, sheep." You know, what do they call them? Bluey and Fuzzy and probably things like we give pet names to our animals. We have Darla and Tip at my house, two dogs. Darla's red and fluffy and fuzzy. And Tip is a little barky, yappy dog with a brown tip on her tail. You know, but we know them. They're our dogs. If we stopped feeding them, they would die because they're plain dumb, even though we love them. We wouldn't trade them. Well, I did run into somebody who has a really cool dog. I thought about trading, but we wouldn't trade our dogs. They're ours. We know them. We've named them. They live in our house. They depend on us for feeding and watering. They're lost without us. We're not lost without them. Maybe my kids are, but, you know, I fatten them up just in case the economy gets bad. I'm teasing. I wouldn't do that. I'm sorry. Sorry. You never know. That would have to get really bad. But the point is, my relationship with them, I call on them, I know them, but I'm not their peer. But their relationship with me is life. I mean, they're domesticated. These are not hardline hunting dogs. These are give me two bags of food every day and fill my water bowl up dogs. They need that relationship. But how awesome it is for us who are like the sheep or like the pet that God takes to know our names, to fellowship with us, to invite us into his world, to lead us, guide us, and direct us, and feed us, and protect us, to know us. and then to allow us to know him some. Because I believe we can know the Lord more than a sheep can know a shepherd. Maybe not a lot more, but some more. We get to learn about him all at his invitation, all at this relationship that we have with him. In our time, we want the goodies of God without knowing God. We want the feeding and the leading and the protecting of a shepherd. We just want him to walk our path in front of us for our comfort and our desire. What shepherd in his right mind would do that? Let the sheep lead. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where the dangers are. And so to have any goodies or blessings from the Lord, you need to be in a relationship with him. I don't know if blessings have ever been called goodies. Just shows you my mindset, maybe. But you know, when you know the Lord, goodies follow. Blessings follow. They come from him, from knowing him, from being near to him. That's where the blessings come from. So everything I'm going to talk about is based on, is the Lord your shepherd? Or the way I've mixed it up, is the shepherd your Lord? Because if not, none of these things will be in their right spot. Let's look at the testimony of a sheep. The testimony of a sheep. The first three verses refer to God in the third person. He's done this. It's like he's talking about God. You'll notice that's different because starting in verse 4, he's talking to God. You are with me. Your rod and your shepherd, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But in the first three verses, it's he. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me to the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you hear the witness? Do you hear the testimony? Well, the testimony is certainly dependent on God, but here's the testimony. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I am full. I'm satisfied. I'm happy. This reminds us of what Jesus said to the woman at the well. I'll give you water to drink, and when you've had the water I give you to drink, you'll never thirst anymore. Now, she was thinking of water that comes from a well. He was talking of that which satisfies eternally, that brings a contentment. There's a contentment in the testimony of a sheep in God's flock. There's a happiness, a fullness that comes. The word says contentment with godliness is great gain. But it says so often we don't have that. We're always after something else. We want to add something else to God. We want to look and search for someone else besides God, something more than God, something we can, you know, we add God to our life. Y'all remember fanny packs? Y'all still have fanny packs? You have a fanny pack. I just have a fanny. But these fanny packs, you'd put them around your waist, you remember, and they had a big pouch, and you could stuff, you know, like, it had to be better. When I think about ladies, I think about y'all, it had to be better than a purse, you know what I'm saying, lugging this duffel bag full of bricks and rocks and makeup. And, you know, it's got to be better than that. So you'd condense it down to the fanny pack so that you could easily go your way without lugging around the big bag. I think sometimes we try to put God into our fanny pack, our purse, our pocket, our wallet, and we say, come on with us, God. Let's show you the way we're going to go, God. And then we end up not happy. God didn't give me my way. It's because you've missed the entire relationship. The key to happiness in the Lord is not getting your own way. It's being led by him. This testimony of this sheep, I shall not want, says, I have found satisfaction in following the lead of my shepherd. I follow his lead. Notice in these three verses, God is at the head of everything. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's all about him. You will never have contentment in the Lord until you turn over the direction of your life to the shepherd. You'll never be happy in Jesus. It'll always be disappointing to you. You'll always be waiting for a second blessing, third blessing, fourth blessing. I just need to have me another Pentecost. I just need to have me another revival. I just need to have me another something. No, you just need to turn the steering wheel of your life over to the Lord. He's the shepherd. He leads. If you're going to be happy in Jesus, you have to be happy as a follower. This goes right against that isolated, selfish individualism that we've been sold in our culture that says, this is how you'll be happy. Make it on your own. Build it on your own. Gain it on your own. Spend it on your own. Keep it to yourself. Don't ask for help. Do your own thing. Y'all, listen. I'm all for independence. I'm for people being responsible for what they do. But we've got to understand that this life that you've been given in the Lord is bigger than you can handle. You've got to trust the shepherd. We grind against that so hard. So we've been taught to be, I'm my own person. So much so that we try to see God as an irresponsible parent who's enabling their self-addicted son and daughter to live however they want. And they just keep bailing them out, keep giving them some more money, keep doing these things, and you just keep living your own way. That's not the testimony of a contented follower of God. The contented follower of God said, He does it. He leads me. He restores me. He makes me lay down and rest in the place of His provision. He heals me. He enlightens me. He comforts me. He gives me joy inexpressible, peace that surpasses understanding. He gives me these things. I'm saved by His grace. He saves me. It's that God-centered testimony. The victorious life has that God-centered testimony. It's not about what I can do for God. We get hung up on that. God will employ us. Don't worry. Don't worry about God doing His part to employ you in His business and His kingdom. He will do it. Well, you got to rest on the fact that God has done it for you, not what you can do for God. When we see that relationship, then we know who's in the lead. He's leading us. He's leading us to give our testimony to those lost folks. He's leading us to give sacrificially. He's leading us to give our time. He's leading us in that way. Let Him lead. And you'll be content. And you'll be able to say, I shall not want. Just to explain that, that's an old phrase. I shall not want. Means I have no lack. I'm not itching to have something else, something new. I'm not feeling like there's a great missing link in my life that I can't be happy unless. It's not like the child's birthday list. Birthday season is coming up. Christmas season just ended, where you had to get all these lists from your children. I want this, and I want that, and I want this. And now it's birthday season. So the lists start up again. If I could only get that one thing, I wouldn't ask for anything else ever, really. Promise. I've already gotten that this year. Christmas, not that long ago, already got, if you just get me this, I won't ask for anything else. It's the key to my happiness. And then, you know, you get a little afraid. Am I going to ruin this kid if I get him what he wants? Am I going to, you know, disturb him forever if I don't get him what he wants? What's going to happen? In my household, we've already decided. You know, they haven't always learned yet, but when they ask for something like that, it's almost like we got to say no. It's like you're challenging us now. Anyway, I can imagine us like that with the Lord. When I listen to prayer requests, when you listen to things, all you hear is want. I mean, in the sense that we use it, we usually pray for our wants more than our needs. Publisher Clearinghouse is sending us letters. I found myself praying for wants. I want $7,000 a week for the rest of my life. You want me to have $7,000 a week the rest of my life. That would be all right. They're all coming in Sarah's name. I want Sarah to have, you know, I'll be hooked up, you know. But I find myself just expressing these wants. And I can imagine the Lord saying, really? So I spent my son, literally spent him, for you. And you want what? What more can he do than what he's already done? What more could he say than he's already said? I just want to hear from the Lord. What do you want to hear? Let's hear it together. Let's read it aloud. What has he said that he hasn't already said? What more can he do to make you happy? The most expensive, extravagant gift, what love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God through Christ. What else? What else? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We can go into all these things, but I love it. Lord, lead me. Lead our church. Restore our soul. What do you do to restore your soul? It says a lot about you. What you do to restore yourself, what I do to restore myself, says a lot about me. Since I don't really have permission to pick on you all, I wish I did. I'm going to get more. As I get into your stories more and more, I'll pick on you in public. So I have to pick on myself. And when I find myself kind of overloaded and the sparks are going, I'd love to tell you that your pastor finds a still, quiet place to be with the Lord, to be restored spiritually by his God and Savior and Shepherd. More often than not, I end up sitting on my fanny without a pack, watching movies, isolating myself from my kids and my family, vegging out, I call it. I watched one movie with my kids, Despicable Me, and it said chillaxing. I chillax. I chill out and relax. But it doesn't usually have a whole lot to do with the Lord. And what I find by the end of one of those days, do I feel restored? Honestly, I don't. I feel like I've wasted a day. I don't feel restored. I had this just happen to me over the last 2 days, and it's always a reminder. Friday, I about completely wasted. I was tired. We had hosted people all week, my mom and my aunt, which was awesome. But when you're hosting people at your house, you know, it's not the same. It's a little different. So I was a little tired by the end. And instead of having what I thought, you know, in my mind, I had all my books out. I have a little home office. I was ready. I had all the material ready. Watched the movies, hollered at the kids, told them to get outside. Get outside. Kids today don't want to be outside. You about had to get the stick. Get outside and play like normal, real kids. Did I feel restored at the end? Did I feel just energetic, ready to do the Lord's work? No. I felt tired, just like I did before. Now, yesterday, different day. I got up and I did my reading. I got with the Lord. I prayed. I feel energized. I feel better. Because the first day, I chose to restore myself the way I thought. The second day, I allowed the Lord to restore me. And it made all the difference in the world. How do you get your energy back? Through lethargy, bad food, bad TV? You think that's going to build you up? Or do you go to the source where it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but shall be nourished by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Wow, what a difference that makes. It made a big difference in me. I just did the experiment this weekend. The sad thing is, knowing myself, I'll probably do the experiment again, even though I know already what the results would be. I wish for you and I pray for you and I, that we could find our restoration in the Lord and Him only. It'd be so much better. That's how we become sheep that don't want or lack in anything. I heard someone say, you have as much of God as you want to right now. You have as much of God as you want. Have you thought about that? A lot of times we think God is keeping Himself from us, but He's made Himself so available. You have as much of Him as you want. Right now, if you think, well, I just don't know God very well, it's because you've chosen not to know God very well. I don't know that I can hear His voice. You've chosen not to listen and find out the distinction of His voice. If you don't have as much of God as you want right now, what are you waiting for? There's no more. When He comes back, it's the end. He's given it all. The Spirit has been loosed among us in this world so that we would know Him in a spiritual way inside us and lack nothing. He's made Himself available. Let's look at the next verse. The next part isn't just a testimony. It's a prayer. It's Godward. Verse 4 begins the Godward look of Psalm 23. And it's a confirmation, a confession. You know what it means to confess the Lord? You know, we think of confession always as, you know, hey, I confess my sin. I did this. I did that. I had, you know, whatever kind of things you may confess in your sin. I'm not going to confess my sin here because I need to keep this job, feed my family and all. We'll just let the Lord hear my sin. Usually when we hear confession, we think sin. But this is the type of confession where we confess that God is our God. The Lord, the shepherd, is our God. The Lord is our shepherd, and the shepherd is our Lord. This is what verse 4 is. And it puts it in the most dramatic of fashions. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's the part. But it says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What gives the courage to the sheep? What gives strength to the sheep? You know, the shepherd doesn't come and give the sheep his rod, say, hey, take this. This rod's going to help you out. It's going to give you courage. The shepherd keeps the stick in his hand, and he invites the sheep to walk close to him. That's where the courage comes from. How can this sheep say he walks in the valley of the shadow of death and yet fear no evil? Because I'll tell you something. I know there's people in here who act very big and bad and say, you know, I'm not afraid to die. It's only because you're not dying. You put yourself in that situation where you are. When you're in the valley of the shadow of death, when you're face to face with your mortality, that is a different story. It's like Christians who boast of how brave a martyr they would be. Then go be a missionary in Saudi Arabia, brother, because you'll get your wish. And you can be as brave as you want to be in the face of death. But I pretty much think all those talks are just, you know, machismo, macho, I'm a guy, I'm not afraid of anything. Yeah, it's because nothing's happening to you. It's easy to not be afraid of death when you're not bleeding out or you're not facing stage 4 cancer. Or when you're, you know, it's easier then when you're not facing these things. This psalmist talks about a courage that comes, but it's not his courage. It's a courage that comes from being near God. It's the courage from knowing that your shepherd is with you. Let me tell you something about Jesus, my shepherd. Death, he has already experienced it. He came through with flying colors on the other side of its test. He's alive and well today. and he promises to walk with me. When you let go of this life, if you have a relationship with the Good Shepherd, your relationship doesn't end. Your relationship with your spouse ends. When you made a vow, bet you stood in front of a preacher, maybe not one as good looking as I am, but he was a preacher nonetheless, and he said something like, till death do you part. Because, see, death severs that relationship. And your babies, it severs that too. They can't call on you no more. They can't lean on your advice if you haven't left them some kind of record. They can't hold your hand no more. They can't lean on your shoulder no more. They can't be in your loving embrace and your hug anymore. It's gone. It's done. There's one thing that remains. One relationship that goes through death. That's a relationship with the Lord your shepherd. That's it. It's no wonder when Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, I have to come first. First above your spouse, above your children, above your parents, and above yourself. Because you lose your relationship even with yourself. Because, you know, your life's gone. You need, more than any other time, that shepherd to be with you when you're face to face with your own mortality. You need him. All the props of life have been stripped away. I mean, who cares about some of the superficial things? Who cares who wins the race if you're fixing to die? Who cares what team recruited what player? I've been hearing, you know, every once in a while I hear the sports thing. They say, you know, this guy's going to Tampa Bay or this guy's going to the New England Patriots. Which I don't care anyways. Or they have celebrity news, which isn't news. It's like gossip, talking about these people, unbalanced people that we've put into this, you know, fishbowl, and we stare at them. And then we wonder why they can't. We wonder why they're weird. You know, we wonder why Philip Seymour, whatever his name is, overdoses on heroin. And why they feel it's because we make zoo animals out of them. But I'm going to tell you something. None of those things, all the props of life, what we think is important, what we think is news, all goes away in the light of you are about to meet your Maker. It changes. It prioritizes things. How can I face the scariest place in my life where there's no hope of rescuing myself? You know, I often think if I had to make money, I'd do anything legal and moral I could to do it if I was in a place. When we landed in seminary, I had to quit my job that I had for 8 years at Federal Express, and I went from delivering multi-million dollar shipments to a Best Buy distribution center when I lived up in Detroit, and I shipped the laptops and the phones and the cameras, all that stuff, to working at Domino's Pizza for as many hours as I could delivering pizza pie to folks. It was a big cut in pay. It was all this stuff. But you know what? My family, we needed money now. Domino's was hiring right then. So, man, I started delivering pizzas. My wife, she started working. She got a job at a daycare. You know, we had to do what you had to do. When you're face-to-face with mortality, there's nothing you can do. What can you do? You cannot add 1 hour to your time. Jesus said that. You can't add 1 hour to your time. How do you get to that moment and not be afraid? Only because you have a shepherd whom you trust. Only because you've come to put faith in God Almighty, the one whom you're about to see. Because there's no way to approach that and not fear. And it says, I'll fear no evil. There's a lot of evil can happen to us in this world. Everything from poverty to sickness to death to betrayal. Here's a testimony from a saint who loved the Lord and trusted him as his shepherd. I will fear no evil. We were talking about David and Goliath this past Wednesday. And somebody said, you know, why David was victorious is because he wasn't looking at the big problem, Goliath. He was looking at the big Lord, Yahweh, our God, king shepherd. That's who he's looking at. Not at the big problem, but at the big God shepherd. That's who he's looking at. And I'm going to tell you, what a brilliant thing. Look unto God, who's bigger than death, which is your greatest problem, by the way. See, all our other problems just lead to death. Death is the biggie. And he's bigger. Okay? And it says, I will fear no evil. And it doesn't say because. It says for, which is just like because. This is the reason. You are with me. We just want the strength to face all our problems. But Jesus says, I'll be with you. You remember what they called him when he was born? In the book of Matthew in chapter 1, it says that he would be called what? Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means what? God with us. That's the source of our strength. That's the source of our courage. That's the source of our endurance and perseverance. That's our source to face death and all that comes with death, to face evil in this world and all that comes with the evil in this world. The strength is not our own. The strength comes from our nearness to the shepherd. And praise God, he likes to be near us. Do you know where he put the tabernacle when he walked, when he was with the people in the wilderness and they were on their 40-year march? 40 years of church discipline. Where did the tabernacle go when they pitched up, when they pitched tent? Where did it go? On the outside of the camp? On the left side of the camp? The right side of the camp? The head of the camp? Where'd it go? It was right in the center. God has always wanted to be with his people. God always wants to be near to you because you need him, and he's glorified through us when we lean on him, when we call on him. Call on me in your time of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will glorify me. That's what it says in Psalm, I want to say 55:10, but it's somewhere in there, 50:10, something like that. One of them psalms. Call on me in your time of trouble, and I'll rescue you, and you will glorify me. Oh, his nearness to us brings him glory. His rod and his staff. You notice I had the staff out here. I love it. Not a tool of comfort for the sheep. This is a tool to get the attention of the sheep. I think they probably come to recognize it, and they follow the person carrying it. But what happens if they don't follow? What happens if they start butting heads? Whop. What happens if they don't go the right way? Goad. Boom. Oh, but what does that say? If God hits you with his stick, what does that say about you? It means he's taken you on as his sheep. It means you belong to him. What happens if God takes you behind the woodshed because you need to be disciplined? It means he's recognized you as a legitimate child and he loves you. That's why he disciplines you. Oh, it's so good. How can I walk with the Lord? How can I have courage, rather, when in the face of the scariest things in life? It's because I walk with the Lord. The two testimonies I want you to hear today from this psalm. First is the Lord, or three, the Lord is my shepherd. That testimony of whom I belong to. Second is, I shall not want. There's nothing that I need to secure my happiness, my peace, my love, my joy that hasn't been provided me from God. And then lastly is, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Is that your testimony? Do you have the testimony that you belong to him, that the Lord is your shepherd, that the shepherd is your Lord, the one who tells you where to go, when to go, why to go? Is your testimony of being content in God? Say, I really have all I need. I see it in Christ. And do you have the testimony that you fear no evil? Not in a phony, Rambo, Hollywood type way that so many men are used to. You watch a man get shook up at the base of his life, and he's as scared as anybody. Unless he has a close walk with the Lord. Even then, it's tough, isn't it? Remember the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Who could have a better relationship with the Father? Who could have more peace than Jesus Christ? And yet he had a struggle. Let this cup pass from me, sweating like drops of blood. But what is his conclusion? What did he come out with? Not my will, but your will be done. He knew the shepherd. The Lord was his shepherd, as he's our shepherd. Oh, so is the Lord your shepherd? That's the question. I'm going to pray for us. And we have a part two to this service, but don't get too worried. It'll be okay. Let's pray. If you need to make the Lord your shepherd, what a great time to say, Lord, be my shepherd. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you that we are here at your choosing, your bidding. And Father, I do pray that we would find, as King David, who walked with you before us, a satisfaction in the relationship. It's so disheartening to hear disheartened Christians. It's so wearisome, and I imagine it is for you to hear people who are using you and looking for something more. They've just added you to their life, and they want something more. They want someone more. Someone more than Jesus. What a fruitless expedition they're on. Lord, would you bring us peace? And we love you. And if anyone here doesn't know you, you're not their Lord. You're not their shepherd. They're just on the fringe. They're observing. Father, would you break through into their life? Crush the sufficiency they have in themselves and show yourself mighty, loving, and willing to lead. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's ready to take you on, to know your name, and to lead you. I'm going to ask if the ushers would come forward for the morning offering.